Time for the latest installment of Hanging with Big Walt right here on ScoopedWithDannyMac.com, presented by Greenville University, Fast Eddie's Bon Air, Marie Davila Senior Living, Urban Chestnut, and our good friends at Triad Bank. Where in the world is Big Walt? You get to guess every week. It's usually the Minneapolis airport on his way to Sarnia. You're actually back home. Boston is where we find Big Walt this week. Keith Kachuk. Walt, how are you?
I'm in Boston. That's right. I'm doing great. 2020. It's a little somber today in the city of Boston with the Patriots going down.
You know what's weird is even going into that game with the Chiefs, people kept saying, "What's wrong with New England?" And they were 10-2, but they do seem to have a few issues. This is rarefied air for Patriot fans to be heading towards the playoffs and thinking maybe we're not good enough. That's got to be a new feeling.
Yeah, they didn't look very good. Tom Brady obviously is one of the greatest, if not the greatest, but he looked a little bit not his best, I guess, yesterday. And the Chiefs came in and played well. They did. They played well. They certainly didn't get a lot of help. The Patriots did from the refs, but you know, you got to play better.
And where did Big Walt sit for the big game?
I sat in Mr. Marty, the mayor of Boston, Marty Walsh's seat. He has two tickets, and my brother knows him, and my sister-in-law works with him, so it was good. It was nice. A little cold, though, yesterday. A little cold.
Oh, you're getting soft. Hold on. Now, so your brother knows the mayor, sister-in-law works from this. Sounds like a little more of that Boston, like everyone's connected. Mom's still on the payroll, still on the clock, down on the docks. Everybody talks about the Chicago political machine. I think there's got to be a Boston political machine.
Everybody knows each other here. So it's a good place to visit. But I like where I live, and I like my comfort zone out in St. Louis.
I tell you,
I like my people out there, which is you, Obi Clark.
He's going to get all of
all
his shout outs in right now. Hey, you know what? Berube's been hanging at the Hive these days too. I guess that's an Obi Clark spinoff. They've taken it over.
Yeah. Jimmy and Joe run that place now. So people feel comfortable places like that. Nobody bothers you. It's just a nice, quiet place. Obi's and then the Hive. Absolutely.
Now, when you go to Foxborough, and I've been there, it really is the middle of nowhere, and there's not a huge interstate to get off of. Were you going there even as a kid back in the day, or your dad?
The reason why I wanted to go to this game is I haven't seen Tom Brady play at Foxborough. I haven't seen the new Gillette Stadium, so I wanted to see it. And it was a great experience. It really was, but it is a pain in the butt to get to and get out of there. It's just, like you said, it's that one road in. It's 45 minutes from Boston. It would have been nice to have, but it's a beautiful place. It really is. Like, it's really grown out there, but there's nothing out there like other than that. And it's just a tough place. The traffic is brutal, but the facilities were pretty nice. Really, really, really a neat experience.
Now, as a kid, you're younger than me. Was Steve Grogan your guy? Do you remember them getting to the Super Bowl and getting destroyed?
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't get destroyed by the Chicago Bears that time? I mean, Steve Grogan was one of the toughest son of a bitches that ever played. I mean, he got killed and he kept on getting in there and taking it on the chin, and that's when they weren't very good and had a horrible stadium there. So I think it was called Fox Sullivan Stadium back in the day, but they weren't great teams. Steve Grogan, he was a John Hanna, remember him?
Yeah,
was
he a guard or a tackle, all pro every year?
Yeah. Andre Tippett, the linebacker.
Yes.
You know, they had so Stanley Morgan, wide receiver. They had Craig James, I think it was, the running back from Nebraska, I believe. I loved them. I loved I grew up here, so I loved the Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, and the Bruins. So it was a great city to grow up in, but I like just visiting now.
What about Fenway? Did you go? And by the way, Craig James, I think SMU with Eric Dickerson.
Oh, SMU, okay.
I don't want to be corrector guy. I get yelled at.
That's great that you corrected me there. But, well, you know, in that area.
That's why we let you do the hockey talk. That's why we let you do all the hockey talk, okay?
Well, anyways, I love Craig James. He's great. I loved Andre Tippett. He was probably him and John Hanna are my favorites.
And then what about going to Fenway as a kid? Did you ever, like, go to day games, get out of school, and hang out there?
Yeah, once in a while. But, you know, the sports besides, it wasn't like the Red Sox like it is now where it's hard to get a ticket. Back then you could just go wherever and just show up and get a good seat. So that, but still, that's, you know, an incredible park. And you know what? Speaking of incredible parks, I've never been to, you know, Wrigley Field. So that's on next on my bucket list. So
oh my! All right, next summer, you tell Krogan we need some tickets. You and me, we're going to Wrigley next summer.
I know. I want to go down there for a Cubs series. That'd be great. I mean, Chicago's a great city. So that's the next. But getting back to Fenway, it was a beautiful place. I still enjoy going there.
All right, so Big Walt, he's hanging in Boston. You going to go see Mom and Dad?
Yep, I'm going to go see them, say hello to them. I saw them the other night. Me and my dad went to watch a college game up in Dartmouth, which is about 2 hours north of Boston. So I dragged him with me to watch, see, get his input, of course. You better just stick to being a former fireman, because I don't know if he knows hockey like I do. So it was great having him.
So you really are into this scouting. You're hauling your dad up to Dartmouth. Yeah. Now, what about when you played? Was dad a coach at home, a critic, or did he weigh in much on your career?
You know what? Back then, they couldn't really watch a lot of the games. I mean, the TV wasn't what it is like on the internet like now it is. You know, like you could see every game. Back then, especially playing in Winnipeg when I first started, it was very rare for them to get a game, so it was difficult. And, you know, so they didn't really have many opinions, you know, watching me or going as I was a pro. But, you know, my dad worked two jobs and my mom was a stay-at-home mom at the time. And, you know, so we were busy.
So her work on the docks came later in life.
Yeah, correct.
And she's still working.
Yeah, she's working today. She's unreal, 72 years old and still working. She doesn't get out till 4:30 today, so I'll see her back at my parents' house when I get there.
She's 72. She's on the clock. She's still working. Her son, her likely Hall of Fame hockey son, U.S. Hockey Hall of Fame, Pro Hockey Hall of Fame, one day, is in town. He made a couple of bucks along the way, and she's working till 4:30.
She wants to work. My dad's been retired. He's 72 as well, and he was he had to retire at 65 from the Boston Fire Department. So, I don't know. She likes working, so. Sure, it's not that hard doing what she's doing, but she loves it.
Well, in the words of the great Larry Plow, okay, talk hockey, eh? This is really this is supposed to be a little bit about hockey. The St. Louis Blues, your employer, your former team, a little bit of a lull. They lose at Pittsburgh, and then they have a rough game at home against Toronto. I think that Maple Leafs game was kind of scary because that's an underachieving team. There's a lot of firepower. I was down there before the game, and everybody was saying, you got to watch this team because they've got so many offensive weapons, and boy, they brought them that night.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, but I was surprised that, you know, when I checked the scores and saw them jump out to the lead, but not surprised. I'm more surprised, I guess, how we played at home or, you know, and they do have some firepower with Austin Matthews and Marner and Nylander and Tavares. They get some highly skilled forwards and Castro, I don't know what the hell that guy's name is, but. But they have some good high-priced forwards who have very good hockey skills, and you know they got a new coach in there. So I was a little surprised at how we played, but we've had a great season so far. You know, mounting a lot of injuries, and I like the way the guys are playing. But that's a tough one, but it's behind you, and you know, hopefully we can move forward and get back on the winning side.
You know, what's weird about this team is they rarely win one, lose one. They almost always win a handful in a row, lose a couple in a row. There's sort of a streak element. If you look at the season, too, they've been like that. They have called up Jordan Kyra. There's a guy that fans have been talking about for a while. Started to put up some numbers down there, got himself healthy. Give us a scouting report on Kyra.
Well, he's just like that. I mean, he went through a tough injury last year, and so it took some time, you know, getting back to speed, because that's what he is. He's got some dynamic speed. He can score goals, and you know he's one of those guys coming off that wing. He can beat you wide. He can beat anybody wide, and it's nice to see him get rolling. You know, I don't know who Chief is going to put him with, but every time he's on the ice, he's exciting to watch, and he'll make plays. And you know, he's a goal scorer with a lot of skill.
It's a long season, and I would think, you know, there's highs and lows and all of that. But now you're missing a bunch of guys. Maybe Sundquist and Steen are back soon, but does it inject a little life in the team? I'm sure guys on the team are familiar with Kyra's resume. Does it give everybody a little bit of boost when a young kid comes up?
Well, you know, we got a lot of good professionals, O'Reilly, Perron, guys like that, Chen and Schwartz. So, you know, if you can add something that can help your team, the guys will welcome that in a heartbeat, and he'll bring some energy, you know, instantly the way he plays. And, you know, he's going to be all jacked up. And, you know, I'd like to see a little young line out there with him and Robbie Thomas and maybe a Barbashev or something, you know, three young guys, and go out there and they can provide that spark and energy that, you know, sometimes in the middle of the season, you know, these dog days that, you know, I know it's only December, but after Christmas, you get those dog days and you need some, you know, energy spilled into the lineup. And, you know, he's the kind of guy that can bring it with Cairo. And, you know, hopefully he can get rolling and stay up here and be a big part of this team.
I like the idea, the young line. We're always looking for catchy names, get immediate energy, throw all the young guys together. You've been doing this for a while. Hey, you know what was weird the other night is, you know, Binnington has a bad game that doesn't happen very often, has to come off. And they put in Jake Allen, and the crowd was cheering, which is great to see. And I think they've appreciated what he's been able to do, primarily on the road. Do you think at some point you're going to see him getting a home start? Because it's been almost exclusively on the road.
Yeah, I mean, Jake is, you can't say enough great things about the way he conducts himself, a true professional, and the guys love him. And he was and still is a great goaltender. And now he's got his confidence back. And, you know, if you can throw him a bone right now and get him in a home game. But he's had success on the road. I mean, it's hard. But you need two goalies moving forward. So, you know, I don't know what the plan is for the starting goaltender, you know, in our next game. So, but it's nice to know that you have two solid goaltenders. And I'm happy for Jake. He's a true professional. And he's been a great guy for that locker room.
Are goalies the kind of guys, personality-wise, even when you're playing at a young age, do they always have kind of a closer's mentality where bad game, forget it, move on? Like, you can't really think about it for too long if you're a goalie. I mean, sometimes it just happens.
Yeah, you can't, because if you dwell on it, then you're going to run into some problems. And that has happened many a times with goaltenders. But, you know, they're pretty strong mentally. They're pretty focused, even in the locker room before the game. And sometimes difficult to talk to, and they're a different breed. But at the end of the day, it's a tough position. I mean, you know, there's a lot of blame that goes around in that particular position, which is unfair, but that's just the way it is. It's such an important part. But at the end of the day, there's two solid goalies we have in St. Louis, and we're thrilled to have them.
We're hanging with Big Walt. We'll come back. Some more questions for the former Blue next. Great to have Urban Chestnut on board. You know about their great beer and the great beer garden hanging out in the Grove. They've expanded. There's just been the explosion of craft beers. But, boy, it goes way beyond that with Urban Chestnut. They have become part of the St. Louis scene. I love that Urban Underdog. If you haven't had it, it's a great American lager. A lot of beer snobs out there. I get it. My wife is a perfect example. Not a huge beer fan. I rolled out a little Urban Underdog. She absolutely loved it. So whatever your palate is, they've got a taste for you. You know about the Panger Award presented by the good folks at Urban Chestnut every single week. Huge hockey fans. And really, you can find their product now all around town, whether you're at the Schnucks Grocery Store or if you're at a sporting event, Blues game. How about at the zoo? That's right. I had the Grizzly Ridge Colch the other day. They have expanded. It's not just the great product, it's the great people behind it. It's more than just this beer that you're enjoying. They're part of the movement in St. Louis, getting things done and changing the whole area there, the Grove. And if you talk about the connection with the MLS, I think we had the big celebration with the MLS for the Lou. That was at Urban Chestnut in the Grove location. You can find them all around town. I started with the Wingnut, still love that, moved into the Zwickel. Currently just hooked on Urban Underdog. Check them out. Neighborhood grocery store, liquor store, guaranteed all around town. It's Urban Chestnut, part of the St. Louis sports community.
Since 1960, serving the families of St. Louis, Marie Davila Senior Living. At the corner of Clayton and Wideman Road, the beautiful fountain greets you for the 22-acre campus. Full range of senior living. Independent living at the Villa Estate. Skilled nursing, memory care. They have it all. Spacious dining room, salon, transportation around town, exercise and pool, private rooms, hands-on care. You're not a resident at Marie Davila, you are considered a guest. Fred and Mary Kay Weezahan and their sons live on site. It is family run and it has that family feel. You've heard Tony and I talk about how this was home for the legendary Red Shandings for many years. He was also on the board and helped the original owners start Marie Davila back in 1960. MarieDavila.com. We suggest you go online and schedule a tour.
Here's the owner of the world-famous Fast Eddie's Bonaire, Eddie Scholler, and Hall of Fame hockey legend Brett Hull.
Eddie, I was just telling some friends about Fast Eddie's Bonaire, and I just didn't have the words to describe it.
Well, Brett, I've had that same problems for years. The words I use are, you know, it's a lot of fun, it's huge, it's an adventure.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. This place is more than a bar. I mean, the coldest beer, the best live entertainment. Everyone knows about the great food, but Fast Eddie's is far more than that.
I'll tell you what, it's kind of like, I don't know anybody that's been to heaven, but I'll bet you that's hard to describe too.
Well, I sure hope I get to heaven,
telling
I can
me.
Tell you that.
You're telling me.
Fast Eddie's experience is tough to describe, and all I know is it is fun.
Man, I tell you what, we've been here 35 years, and it explains itself. I don't know if it's as good as heaven, but it might be Kevin on Earth.
Well, I would write it down in your notes on your phone, because once you get home, the experience is going to be hard to remember. I've been all over the world, and there's only one Fast Eddie's Bon Air. So if you're 21, head over to Clark Bridge to Fast Eddie's Bon Air in Alton.
Triad Bank, the neighborhood-friendly bank located in Frontenac on Clayton Road. They're just west of Lindbergh. Real easy access off Highway 64. Get to Lindbergh, and you are there. Founded in 2005, a wide range of commercial and personal banking services. And how about this? They actually have people behind the counter, people there ready to greet you, ready to help you. Business owners looking to expand, talk to the bank based in St. Louis. Those decisions are being made here. How frustrating is that? You're trying to get a loan for your business, and the decision is made in New York or Los Angeles, not with Triad Bank. You can find out more at triadbanking.com. Home equity lines of credit, five-star rated bank, $360 million in assets. Check them out, triadbanking.com. Less than an hour from St. Louis, it's Greenville University. Founded in 1892, this liberal arts institution offers pre-med, offers online student involvement. Yeah, that's right. They'll get involved in local businesses, immersed in the community. A great little town of Greenville, Illinois, less than an hour from St. Louis if you're looking to get away for college, but maybe don't want to go too far. It's right up the road from St. Louis. Great professors, really a great experience. Kids involved in the athletics, but again, everybody is really immersed in what they're doing on the campus at all times. Greenville.edu for more information about this great institution.
We went blue!
And Brett Hull bringing us back from the break. We'd like to check in, whether it's Bernie or Panger or Big Walt. We'd like to do a Friends Of segment, and a lot of times that's former teammates. And I wanted to bring up Pavel Dimitra because I know you guys were extremely close. And I look at a lot of times when we have guys scoring goals and look at the career numbers, I don't think people realize how good he was, how many points and goals he put up for the Blues. Tragic end, of course, to his life. And you've been over to see his family. Give me your thoughts on him as a teammate, first and foremost.
Well, he's so, the one thing about him, he didn't get the recognition he probably deserved. He was so underrated, such a great player, obviously very, very skilled, so smart as a hockey player, liked to control the puck, but, you know, that was the hockey man. He was great for his country in Slovakia. He's like the godfather there for a lot of young hockey players in Slovakia. Off the ice, just a tremendous individual. He became a great friend. We did a lot together. We were on the road together a lot and spent a lot of quality time together. And, you know, I'm glad I got the chance to be his teammate.
And just kind of low-key, really. I mean, we would interview him, and his English wasn't that bad. I do remember one time he came around the corner, and you and I maybe even talked about this, but he's riding like a Harley-Davidson. And I think Twister got him to buy a Harley. And I remember Coach Q coming out and screaming at Twister and said, "You can ride a Harley. He can't." In other words, like, he's too valuable. But it just seemed extremely popular. And as you said, underrated career-wise. I'm even looking at the Blues all-time list goals. He's number 8 all-time on the Blues list of goals scored. You're number 6, by the way. That Tarasenko passed you up along the way here.
I'm glad. He put up some good numbers, and he was a tremendous player. He really was, and he just had that attitude. He was just a great guy to be around. He was a quiet guy, but once you got him going, you got to make a guy like that feel very important, because he is important to your team. And when I first met him, he was really quiet, and I think I created a monster. And at the end of our time together playing, he couldn't get him to shut up. So I created that monster, but he's a great guy. He really was. And, I miss him. I miss him big time.
Next month, Enterprise will host the All-Star Game. It's just amazing how it's worked out. Blues win the Cup, and now here they are hosting the All-Star Game. It's just great how it's rolling from one big event into the next. As a player, so you were a 5-time All-Star, but I looked, it said you went 2 times as a second All-Star. So are you a 7-time All-Star?
I think that was 5-time All-Star in the game, and then I think when they do the end of the year, they produce a first team, second team. I think that's what it is. But it's been, I think it was five times in an actual All-Star game.
What did that mean to you? I'm sure the first one more memorable, but what does that mean to a player, even though you already know you're a good player, but just to get that recognition?
That's pretty cool. I mean, you get a chance to play in a carefree game, but you play them with all the other All-Stars and a lot of great players that you normally wouldn't get a chance to play with. So that was a great opportunity. The skills competition was pretty cool to be a part of that. And, you know, to have it here, and I got to do it in my last one in Montreal, which was even, and it was really cool because it was such a wonderful franchise and a great building and team that I grew up watching because I was a Boston fan and seeing them always play against each other. And now to have an All-Star game in St. Louis, in our rink, which is beautiful. And I think it's just great for the city. Whatever our city brings, whether it's an All-Star game, a Final Four for basketball, a baseball event, I mean, it just works out so good. And they do a great job, the city, and our fans are incredible. And I think it's going to be a great event. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, Big Walt, where are your next travels taking you? Back out on the road?
Yep, I'm going to hit, I'm going down to Brown to watch the team play UMass Amherst, and then I'm hitting a Western road trip, and then I'm going to end up in Omaha to watch ASU versus UNO.
It's a glamorous, I like that Providence, I like that town. I when I covered the Rams-Patriots, I stayed in Providence.
Yeah, I guarantee most people stay down there. It's probably easier to get to Foxboro than coming from Boston.
Well, have yourself a great week. And I got to tell you, I'm down at Columbia covering state football. I'm on the sidelines. A guy comes up to me. He said, "Hey, are you Martin Kilcoin?" I said, "Of course, sir. If you did, you want an autograph?" He said, "I like those Kachuk segments you do." I'm like, "Oh, all right." So that's one of the three listeners you always joke about.
Hey, it'd be better if the guy called you 2020.
From now on, people need to identify me as 2020. It's Hanging with Big Walt. Make sure you subscribe, whether it's Google or iTunes. You get a subscription. That way it's delivered directly to you each and every week, unless he's traveling and I forget to call him. It's presented each week by Triad Bank, Greenville University, Marie Davila Senior Living, Fast Eddie's Bon Air, and the good folks at Urban Chestnut. Walter, enjoy Boston.
Will do, 2020. Take care. Always a pleasure.